You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And very pleasant. Good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind. And yesterday afternoon, July 4th, an 11:05 a.m. start between the Marlins and the Nationals. Coming into the ballgame, the Marlins had won 11 of the first 12 in this season series against the Nationals this season. A win yesterday behind Braxton Garrett would have propelled the Marlins to 12 wins in 13 tries against their divisional rivals in the National League East, the Nationals this season. Braxton Garrett went opposite of Patrick Corbin. And with a recap, as always, here is Glenn Geffner.
Well, the Marlins are streaking in the right direction as they head home after a 5-2 road trip. They win four straight here in Washington. They take the final five games on the trip, one in St. Louis, then four against the Nats. They improve to 12-1 on the season against these Nationals with a 10-inning 3-2 victory on the 4th of July. An exciting day of baseball all the way around. Marlins pull it out in the end, and they will head now to the airport for a happy flight home. Braxton Garrett started against Patrick Corbin today, and both starting pitchers were terrific in this game. Braxton Garrett turned in what you could argue was the best start of his major league career, and in the third inning with no score, the Marlins gave him the lead. Luke Williams got the inning started with a bunt base hit. Billy Hamilton then dropped down a sacrifice bunt, the Marlins' first sack bunt of the season. It came in their 79th game on the 4th of July, leaving only the Braves and the Giants without a single sack bunt this year. So Hamilton got Williams down to second base with one out in the third inning. Williams then stole third, so he was 90 feet away with one out. Miguel Rojas lined to third base for the second out, but Jesus Aguilar came up big for Miami in the third. 0-1 to Aggie is a line drive to left. In for a hit, a big two-out single for Jesus Aguilar. Williams in from third, and it's 1-0 Miami. So Braxton Garrett had the lead, and he got the first out in the bottom of the third inning. He struck out Trace Barrera. Then he went after the number nine hitter, Victor Robles. Pitch to Robles is in the air, shallow right, racing out Aguilar. In comes De La Cruz, and neither one can get it. Now trying for second, Robles. The throw, and he is dead to rights at second base.
Boy, that just shows what kind of arm strength De La Cruz has. He picks this ball up.
Well, that hit by Robles, which would be erased on the strong throw from right field by De La Cruz, would be the last hit and would mark the last base runner against Braxton Garrett until the eighth inning. It was a 1-0 game for a long time because Corbin got on a roll and Garrett got on a roll. After Robles is thrown out trying to stretch that single into a double, Lane Thomas grounded to short ending the third inning. And then Garrett, a 1-2-3 fourth, a 1-2-3 fifth, set down the side in order in the sixth, did it again in the seventh, and threw seven, had retired 13 straight, 16 of the last 17 men he had faced. But because Corbin was cruising along, it was just a 1-0 Miami lead. Corbin went seven innings, allowed the one run on eight hits, walked one, struck out four, threw 97 pitches, 67 strikes. Garrett, who had gone seven innings once in his big league career before today, against the Padres last July in Miami, made it through the seventh and started the eighth today. And when Michael Franco grounded to short to begin the eighth inning, he joined Sandy Alcantara and Pablo Lopez as one of only three pitchers to get an out in the eighth inning as a starter for the Marlins this season. And when Franco grounded out, it was 14 straight, 17 of 18 retired by Garrett. But he would then walk Eddie Adrianza. It was the first free pass Garrett allowed in the ballgame. Adrianza stole second, so he was in scoring position with one out in the eighth when Braxton Garrett faced lefty-hitting shortstop Luis Garcia. 2-1 pitch to Luis Garcia as a line drive down the right field line. De La Cruz won't get it. It's in for a hit. Adrianza around third coming toward the plate, and the Nationals have tied the game at one in the eighth. They finally break through against Braxton Garrett. On Garrett's 83rd pitch, it would be his final pitch of the day. Garcia, the RBI single, first hit by a National since the Robles single in the third inning. and it was a 1-1 game. Zach Pop came on after that RBI hit to take over for Garrett, and he allowed a single to pinch hitter Keibert Ruiz. That put runners at first and second with one out in a tie game. When pinch hitter Juan Soto walked, the bases were loaded for the Nationals. Tied at one, only one out, eighth inning. Bases full, back to the top of the order. Pop facing Lane Thomas. Pitch to Thomas is popped foul behind the plate. Fortes finds it late, gets back there, and he made the basket catch. He didn't see it initially, and he recovered just in a nick of time and two steps shy of the backstop, made the basket catch.
What a play by Fortes. The ball goes up as he...
So that was the second out. The bases were still loaded. And then Pop had to face the best the Nationals have had at the plate here in 2022, their first baseman, Josh Bell. Pop's 3-1, and that's in the air. Shallow center. Rojas out, got turned around, can't see the baseball. Here's the left fielder, and Hamilton saves the day to get the Marlins out of the inning. Well, you want to talk about flying by the seat of your pants in that inning. How many bullets did the Marlins just dodge?
A bunch of bullets on a 3-1, gets the fastball.
So the Nationals leave them loaded, but they tied the game in the eighth. We went to the ninth, 1-1. Kyle Finnegan on the mound for the Nationals, pitched a scoreless top of the ninth inning. Marlins in the bottom of the ninth brought Jimmy Yacobonis on. Braxton Garrett had gone the first seven and a third, four hits and a run. Walked one, struck out four, 83 pitches, 57 strikes in the best start of his Major League career. Pop got out of the eighth, then Yacobonis for the ninth. A lot of leadoff hit to Nelson Cruz, but he got Yadiel Hernandez hit into a 3-6-1 double play. And when Michael Franco hit a fly ball to center, we were headed to extra innings for the second straight day here in our nation's capital. Top of the 10th, Tanner Rainey, who blew the save in yesterday's game, on to pitch for the Nationals. Miguel Rojas was the place runner at second base with Jesus Aguilar at the plate leading the inning off. A wild pitch got Rojas to third, so the Marlins seemed to be in business in a 1-1 game. Man at third, nobody out, 10th inning, but Rainey able to reach back and blow fastballs past Jesus Aguilar for strike three and then Brian Anderson for strike three. So after a man at third with nobody out in a tie game, he had a man at third with two outs in a tie game, and Rainey facing Brian De La Cruz. 1-0 is hit well. Deep left field. Adrianza turns, watches. It hits the foul pole. A two-run homer for Brian De La Cruz. 3-1 Marlins in the 10th.
There he goes. He's looking for the...
And then Dylan Floro came on to try to lock it down in the bottom of the inning. Michael Franco was a place runner at second base for the Nats. Eddie Adrianza led off with a single. So right out of the chute, the Nats had first and third, nobody out in the 10th inning. They had the tying man at first. They had the winning man at the plate when Floro faced Luis Garcia. Wendell at second base. Pitch on the way. And there's a ground ball. Joey Wendell backhands to Rojas. One back to first. Two. It's a double play. The run scores. It's 3-2. But the Marlins are an out away from victory.
Wow, what a play by Joey Wendell.
So with two outs and nobody on, it was up to Keibert Ruiz, and he singled to center, keeping this game going. So all of a sudden, the tying man was at first base, and he had the winning man at the plate, two outs last of the 10th, Dylan Floro going after pinch hitter Cesar Hernandez. A great start from Braxton Garrett today. Marlins trying to win it in 10. The 1-1, Hernandez, ground ball, Miguel Rojas. He has it, throws to first, and the Marlins have swept the four-game series in Washington. Hernandez retired 6-3 to end it. For the Marlins, their first four-game series sweep on the road since August of 2020 in Baltimore. They are now 12-1 against the Nationals this season, and from Miami, a 5-2 road trip. The final in 10, the Marlins 3 and the Nationals 2. For the Marlins this afternoon, 3 runs, 10 hits, no errors, 10 men left on base. For the Nationals, 2 runs, 8 hits, no errors. They left 5 in this one. Jimmy Yacobonis, the winning pitcher, 1-1 over Tanner Rainey, 1-3. Dylan Floro, his second save. Time of the ballgame, 2 hours, 53 minutes as the Marlins win their 5th in a row, completing this 4-game series sweep of the Nationals. Nats have lost 5 straight now. Miami with the victory is 38-40. The Marlins are within two games of 500 for the first time since they were 17-19 on May 17th. They improved to 19-24 on the road this season. As for the Nationals, they fall to 29-53. They are 24 games under 500 for the first time this year. This is a new low watermark for them. 29-53. They fall to 14-31 at home. Only the A's and the Reds have worse overall records than the Nationals. Only the A's worse at home than the Nats have been so far this year. And Miami has really had its way with the Nationals through 13 games. Now the Marlins 12-1 against the Nats, 7-0 here in Washington. They have outscored the Nationals 69-32 this season. For the Marlins, their first four-game series sweep on the road since August 4th, 5th, and 6th, 2020. They won four straight against the Orioles in Baltimore. You may recall that was very early in that abbreviated 2020 COVID season. The Marlins had won two out of three in Philadelphia to begin this season. Then they had to shut down for a week because of coronavirus issues on the ball club. They resumed play in Baltimore, winning a single game, sweeping a doubleheader, and then taking the series finale. That was August 4th, 5th, and 6th, 2020. Their last four-game series sweep on the road against the Orioles. Before that, you got to go back to 2016 at Dodger Stadium, April 25th through the 28th, when the Marlins won four straight from L.A. on Don Mattingly's first trip back to Los Angeles as the manager of the Marlins. He had previously managed the Dodgers, and that was a great series sweep for the Marlins, although it was marred the night of the final game. Post-game, we got the news that Dee Gordon had been suspended for violation of MLB's PED policy. So that was the second-to-last road four-game series sweep by the Marlins in L.A. back in 2016. They get it done here against the Nationals as the Marlins win today 3-2 in 10 innings. The Marlins and Auto Nation, again, working together to strike out cancer in our communities. Every time a Marlins pitcher records a strikeout this season, $25 will be donated to Auto Nation's Drive Pink Initiative to support cancer research. Today, four strikeouts, $100 for this season, 682 Ks, $17,050 from the Marlins to Auto Nation's Drive Pink Initiative. A one-run win for the Marlins, their fifth consecutive victory in a game decided by a single run. After starting 8-17 in one-run games, they're now 13-17 in one-run games. Now tied with Toronto for the most one-run games played. And while they lead the majors in one-run losses, they're also climbing in one-run wins with these five in a row. 13-17 overall in one-run games. Marlins improved to 3-3 in extra innings, dropping the Nationals to 1-5 when having to work overtime.
Marlins in 10 beat the Nationals 3-2. Let's hear from Don Mattingly afterwards.
Donnie, they do it again. Just some late game magic. How much fun has it been to really see you guys step up and come through, especially in these late innings?
No, it's been great. Love to do it earlier and give us a little more breathing room, but we're going to take wins any way you can get it. To be able to sweep a team is hard, no matter who it is or what's going on with them, but to get four games is tough. So it's good that our guys kept showing up, kept pushing.
Talk about setting the tone for the game. Braxton Garrett, maybe the best start that we've seen from him on this level. What impressed you most about just the way that he was really able to navigate his way through that lineup?
Just used his whole mix today. Not quite as many sliders, used his changeup more, used the fastball more. I'm sure they looked at the St. Louis film and seen he threw basically over half sliders, right? And he used his whole mix today, got quick outs, got himself deep into the game, which was good for us and our bullpen.
Back to the late home run magic. It was three times, both with three different guys doing it, seeing different guys stepping up and showing that whoever it is, you have a chance.
Yeah, well, the first two are over, right? So today's the day. And, and really you need a hit there somehow. And Dale gets us, obviously a big one and gets us two. Mickey gets a good dirt ball read, gets over to third early in that sequence of that inning, and we weren't able to do anything. But with two outs, Dale obviously picked us up.
How much confidence do you have in him, and how much do you think he has in himself? After the first pitch, he came up and in at 100. You could see him nodding his head yes and shaking his head yes in the box, almost anticipating or, ready for that next one that was coming up.
Yeah, I'm confident in Dale. He's a good player and has been off and on this year, but he's very valuable to us. He plays all over the outfield, gives you good at-bats. Yeah, I think guys are used to the velo. So I think just one ball up and in is not really going to do anything to anybody.
Johnny, after the eighth, I saw Zach Pop come over and give Nick Fortes a hug. I'm guessing it was for catching that pitch that could have easily gotten away, and the runner on third base scores, makes it a different ball game. Just how significant may be that play by Fortes to hang on to the ball now?
Yeah, not sure that's what the hug was about. I think maybe a sign of relief for Zach. He got a little out of sorts, it looked like, out there with Soto, got him, and he got in trouble with Bell. Was able to come back and get that out. But obviously, Nick, I couldn't tell if that was a cross-up or what happened. But obviously, that could have changed the game.
You guys have won 12 of 13 against these guys this season. What's gone into that? Is there anything behind that?
Well, we've had a little bit of luck. We seem to have getting the outs we need to and getting some big hits when we need to. We essentially, it seems like we've scored with these guys. You know, we've been inconsistent offensively throughout the year, but with these guys, it seemed like we've been able to score, and that's always a key. And if we get decent pitching, then we know we're in games. So, and we've kind of had a lot of these games that could have went either way. We've just been able to get out on the right side of them.
Back to Braxton for a minute. What's it like in the dugout watching that when he's retiring 14 in a row? He looked real comfortable out there.
He did, and you know that it's like one of those games. It's 11 o'clock game. Both teams got lineups in there. They're not playing all their dudes. But, again, he was making pitches all day, and you just worry about that they get to that inning. His pitch count was in great shape. But you get the inning knowing that he's a young kid. He starts thinking about got a one-run lead, you know, everything that goes into it. You just want him to keep making pitches, so it was good to see.
The bullpen overall, again, without the three main guys you've been using, the high leverage, to see Yacobonis come in for the ninth, keep it in shape, and then Floro, again, he was in the closer spot last year, but see him back in back-to-back days and be able to shut it out.
Yeah, I think, you know, we went into the game today knowing that, you know, who we didn't have available and the guys we had left, we knew Flo was kind of our guy in the ninth. However, we got there are in a safe situation, so we knew he could handle that. But, you know, obviously Zach, you know, we talked about Zach, you know, walking Soto right away, but he ends up getting big outs, getting us out of that inning tied, and then Yak gets the double play ball that he gets over to first and makes a nice play on and gives us a chance to score.
Donnie, it wasn't long ago you guys were, 8 to 10 under 500. You're fighting for your lives every night to win, to keep your head above water. It's easy to say when you're winning, but if you sense the different sense of energy and maybe 26 guys understanding what they're capable of here when you start rattling off these wins?
Pretty dramatic, Kyle. But
you think so?
Yeah, really dramatic.
Good question, though.
It was great. You put a lot of thought into that. You know, I think when you win, you just get that feeling, right? You want to be a part of that. And I think that's what we're seeing a little bit now. We get the big win in St. Louis to end that with Sandy kind of carrying us. And then we're able to come here and put these games together. So you start to feel good about it. I don't know where it goes. Obviously, we're back at it tomorrow. We got to be ready to play tomorrow with the Angels and try to get another one. We got Sandy again. So, you know, you got a pretty good chance.
That was Marlins manager Don Mattingly after their 3-2 10-inning win over the Nationals yesterday. Before we hear from Brian De La Cruz, let's step aside for a quick commercial break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back with you on Marlins Rewind. Let's hear from Brian De La Cruz, who belted the go-ahead two-run homer in the 10th inning off of Tanner Rainey yesterday afternoon. Okay, Glenn, thank you. Brian, that's a massive win for this team. Let me first ask you, did you know it was gone when you hit it?
Yeah, that's what I say. I'm nervous. I'm staying at home play. And when I stay in the home plate, I say, hey, go, 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 and the ball is gone.
After the first pitch, he came up and in on you. You were nodding your head yes. What were you looking for in that at bat?
I just looking for the fastball because yesterday he threw me 100. Then now it's a strikeout yesterday. But today, I got it today. I got it.
How about the start by Braxton Garrett, and how important was this win to wrap up a four-game sweep for you guys?
That was important for my team because, you know, I like competing for another team like Met, Atlanta, and Phoenix. We want to win it. That's it.
Well, let's keep it going. Sandy Alcantara's on the mound tomorrow. Brian, wonderful English, by the way. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, you work.
All right, go ahead. That was Brian De La Cruz after the Marlins 3-2 win over the Nationals. Miami now 38-40. They will host the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim for two, beginning tonight at Lone Depot Park, when Sandy Alcantara goes opposite of the former New York Met Noah Syndergaard. It's a 6:40 first pitch. We'll hit the air at 6:10 with Marlins on deck. And as always, we hope you'll find some time to join us on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.